Hello and welcome to another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there is more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, MC Kim, aka the Kind Intelligent Man. What is up? What's going on? I just want to wish y'all a happy Valentine's Day tomorrow to all the lovebirds, to all those ones that prefer to fly solo. Tomorrow is the one cheat day that you can get all those chocolates, all those goods, make those fancy dinners, and enjoy yourself guilt-free. Let's be honest though, every day you should be eating food. It should always be guilt-free, right? I also want to wish a very happy birthday to my one and only, to my son, who is turning 6 today, actually. We have a big outdoor skate party set up for us this weekend. Hint, hint, if you remember what my 30-day challenge was, right? For this month of February, it's to skate with my son. It's for me to get better at skating, you know, all that stuff. So you guys see what I did there, right? I kind of killed two birds, one stone. Sometimes I'm just too intelligent for myself. I'm having a little bit too much fun. Maybe I'm a little bit delirious. I just made and ate the most gangster sandwich ever. So came home starving, and you know, I found some naan bread that was in the freezer, warmed that up. I just recently went to the butcher shop and I got some deli meat, all that good stuff. So some roast beef, some chicken, some fresh sliced cheeses. There happened to be like some sliced shredded like lettuce hanging around, which I don't know about you guys, I much prefer like shredded lettuce than like sliced lettuce. And I put an avocado in there and feta cheese and some sauces like hot sauce and mustard, and you know, I wrapped that up, and man, it was so good. Clearly I was, and you know, I will always be a fat man because it was so good. But I think my blood sugar level is like running on ultra high, and I'm feeling a little extra giddy here right now. So I hope things are good on your end, and if not, go eat a sandwich, because obviously that made me feel pretty good. But let's turn some things around together today. And just before I get on to today's episode, I want to give a special shout out to listeners Will Choi. Will, what's going on? A relatively new listener. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the episode and shooting me some comments. I appreciate every single listen. And if you're listening out there right now, and if you get a chance, please stop what you're doing. I don't care how important it is. If you're doing open heart surgery, if you're driving on the road, stop what you're doing and take a moment and hit me up in the comments field in iTunes while you're there. Leave me a little rating, whether you like the show, whether you hated the show, anything and all helps and counts. I'm just kidding about the open heart surgery and driving. Keep on driving, keep on doing you, and keep on doing that surgery if you are. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about one of my most favorite topics. And my favorite topics, believe it or not, is talking about plateaus. So if you've ever started or stayed consistent at working out for a little while, whether it's weight training, running, playing sports, piano, learning how to sew, any of that stuff, you may have experienced a plateau. A plateau is when you've reached a certain point and you feel like you're not seeing any improvement in yourself. You know, that happens when we start to do stuff, right? And pretty much anything in life. But it's pretty common and pretty easy to see when we are lifting weights. Now, in today's episode, we are specifically talking about plateaus when it comes to strength training, since it is a very common thing that I see and I get asked about a lot. And before I do, I want to introduce a brand new segment to the show, and it's called Set Things Straight. Now, I want to introduce this segment because in the field of what I do, I often hear and often see things that just like don't make sense, aren't just right. And when I hear these things, I'm in a little bit of a funny situation, because I like to think of myself, I'm a pretty nice guy. I'm a pretty chilled guy. If you ask most of the people around me, you know, But there are things that kind of like irk me a little bit when I hear them, when I see them. And I can't just go out there and just be like, hey, buddy, that's wrong. You know, what you're thinking and what you're saying or what you're doing, that's like totally off. Because then I come off like across like a super big jerk. And I know this from personal experience when I've gone over and I've tried helping people out on you know the types of machines that they're using or helping them with their form, or especially when it comes to like certain, we'll say, quote unquote facts about fitness, you know, and people get very defensive because this is what they believed or this is what they've heard, but clearly have not done any kind of research into it. So I thought this would help me be a little bit therapeutic, get it off my chest a little bit, and I wanted to once in a while hit you guys up with what's on my mind and what kind of, you know, grinds my gears. And if I can't go out and say it, maybe it'll at least maybe you guys can help me out and politely, you know, correct people and maybe perhaps correct yourself, right? So now it's time for the portion of the show where I get to get something off my chest that's been burning deep, deep inside and set things straight. Very first thing I want to do on Set Things Straight with MC Kim is tell me if you've ever heard this or said this yourself. Muscle turns into fat when you don't use it. Muscle turns into fat when you don't use it. Bothers me. Bothers me a lot when I hear this one, because it is 100% false. And I think if you took a second to think about it, you know, to think that like you have all this bulging muscle and then all of a sudden you it turns into fat, like it's not physically possible, because it isn't physically possible. It's not possible that happens. Why? Because fat and muscle are just two totally different types of tissue that make up our body. It's kind of like saying like, you know, can you turn an apple into an orange? It just doesn't happen. What actually happens is your muscles shrink from not using them. And this gives way to the fat tissue covering that area and the fat tissue growing. But that is a separate tissue in itself. And it's really that simple of an explanation. When you stop moving, your muscles shrink. And when you stop moving, you kind of tend to gain weight and fat becomes more prevalent in yourself. Now, I took a little time, just a little bit of time, to see what the source, what the origin of this came from. Maybe it came from like a popular movie, or maybe it was a funny quote that somebody said, or, you know, in one of those fad diet infomercials. But I couldn't find anything. But my best guess is this. My best guess is maybe back in the day, you saw some bodybuilders, you know, who were ripped and who were huge, and now when you see them, they look like they don't look anything like their former selves. You know, instead they've gained a lot of weight. They look very different, right? So maybe it came from there, or maybe it's, you know, it's not just bodybuilders, but if we look at our, you know, the athletic heroes of our day, and you look at what they look like in their 20s and 30s, and then you haven't seen them in like 30, 40 years, and you see how they look, and they look obese, some of them. You know, some of them just have just kind of not taken care of themselves as well, and we just assumed that the muscle turned into fat. But as I have mentioned, this is the furthest from the truth. So next time you hear a friend, a coworker, or family member say, oh, well, you know, I don't want my muscles turn into fat, or I gained some weight over the winter because, you know, I just kind of stopped working out and all the muscle I built turned into fat, you can politely tell them, you know, simply is just not the case, and guide them back into the weight room. Cool? So I hope you enjoyed the first segment, and hopefully not the last segment, of Set This Straight with MC Kim. And if you have one, if you have something that you've heard or that, you know, grinds your gears, feel free, hit me up in the comments field on iTunes, hit me up at mckim@remixmyfitness.com. I'm all ears. But in the meantime, I got quite a few of these in my back pocket. So speaking of ex-athletes, bodybuilders, weightlifters, let's talk about strength gains for a second. Now, if you've ever started going to the gym and you've ever lifted weights, one of the things that you start to notice is how much stronger you get every single time you go to the gym. Every time you pick up the bar or those dumbbells, you can't wait to see if you can bump it up another 2.5 pounds, 5 pounds, maybe even 10 pounds. When you complete a set or when you've done an exercise, almost every time you hit a new personal record, you hit a new PR. And I know that feeling. That feeling is so addictive. It feels so good that you just want to do it more and more. Now eventually what happens after a few consistent months of training, maybe a year of training, you start to notice your first plateau where you can't seem to break past a certain weight at your next bench press or your next squat or your deadlift. You may even notice things have gotten harder to do and you end up doing less. And this is 100% normal, and you'll experience a ton of these as more and more time ticks by. As you start to lift and you break past one plateau, then it's more plateaus. You know, you just get better, then you get a little stale, and then you improve a tiny increments, and then you suck again, and then you get better again. That's just the name of the game. Now, the game is exactly how you should think of your strength training regimen and how it's going to help you break past your plateaus. So if you've ever played any kind of games before in your life, you know that all the levels in the beginning of the game are pretty easy. They're pretty beatable. You know, you're learning how to play the game. You're learning how to use the character in the game. And unless you're playing the original Mario of Nintendo, anyone remember that one? Hit me up if you know the reference I'm talking about. But you, in the beginning, you zip through the levels. The bosses are fairly easy. They're beatable. But at a certain point in the game, it starts to get harder. It almost feels impossible that you'll make it to the next level. And you get frustrated, you get angry, and you maybe throw a controller or something. But hopefully, you become more determined to beat the game. And our training cycles are no different. Our body is very good at adapting to change, and it will naturally change according to what we do to it. It recognizes that you are picking something heavier. The cells in our fibers will break down when they repair, they get stronger for it. But eventually, it starts to adapt to those changes. So there are a whole host of things that you can do, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how you should treat your plateaus like a video game, because that's what's going to help level you up here. Because just like a character in your video game, you're going to need a new bag of tricks. You're going to need to learn some new ways, some new paths, and make some friends along the way to up your skills and to break past these plateaus. The same things that you were doing before won't help you beat these new bad guys. Right, like the same sets, the same exercises, you know, eventually they will stop working, okay? And your body will be like, oh, I know these moves, and they just become a general routine. So I'm gonna go over my favorite tips over here on how to get to the next level and break past your plateaus. Okay, so you ready? The very first one is every level is meant to be beatable. Every level is meant to be beatable. This is the most important thing that you need to keep in your mind when you think that you're stuck at a plateau. Because there are no such things as plateaus that you can get past, especially in strength training, especially in weight training. I'll even go so far as, especially if you're trying to lose weight, you can get to any number if you try really hard at it. You know, it might take a couple of different ways to get there, and that's what we're here to talk about today, but that is the very first thing. If you think that there's something blocking you from getting there, it's going to block you. But you have to know that there is no such thing, okay? So just like a level in a game, no matter how hard it is, they're meant to be beat. And one of my favorite examples of this is about the 4-minute mile. Now, I don't know if you know much about the 4-minute mile, but there have been like mini series, there have been books written about it, and up until 1954, nobody was able to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. But it wasn't broken until 1954 by a then 25-year-old Roger Bannister, and he did it in 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds. Now, since then, this has now just become a general standard, But I bring this up because up until 1954, nobody thought it could be done. And then somebody did it. Somebody went and did it, and now it is just a general standard way of us. And I think it's actually getting faster. I was trying to find the article, but I think I was reading that it's they've shaved off another 16 seconds or so. Correct me if I'm wrong on it. That is not just done for under 4 minutes, but even less now. So this is what I'm talking about. If you set a plateau for yourself, if you think that something's going to stop you, it's just all in your mind. Okay? So that is the very first thing that you want to get rid of. When that's the very first thought that's going to help you break past a plateau. That there are no plateaus. Every level, every record, even your own personal records, they're meant to be broken. Number two, take a different path. Change your routine. This is the easiest, most common way to break past the plateau, is to change what and how you're doing it. A common workout protocol that, you know, most people who do strength training do, they usually pick one or two body parts a day. They work out, let's say, chest and biceps on Monday. They do back and tries on Tuesday. They take a rest day, and then they do legs on Thursday. They do legs and core on Thursday. Okay, that's just one of the more common ways to go about doing a strength routine. And they do this for like 12 weeks, or they do this for 24 weeks, and then eventually they stop seeing an increase in their bench, their squat. You know, so the very first thing that I would do is I would just kind of start playing around with the order of what I'm doing, right? So if I'm doing two body parts a day because I want to save time, I can only get to the gym 3 days a week or 4 days a week, I would then combo chest and legs together. I would do back and core together. I would have my own separate arm day. You know, a small and simple change like that will throw your body off its course, and it forces you to adapt. Maybe now all of a sudden you don't think, even though you're doing like chest and biceps, that, you know, that's a push exercise and that's a pull exercise, and technically those things shouldn't really affect each other, but maybe they do. Maybe your shoulders get a little bit worn out, or maybe the grips in your hands start to get a little bit tired, so you can't lift and you can't push and you can't pull anymore. So, you know, changing your workout protocol like that, you will immediately see a change, and it will definitely help you break past the plateau. The easiest way to break past any plateau is just changing the routine. Watch what happens. Number three, increase your playtime. So in strength training terms, you know, instead of playing more video games, you got to get to the gym more often, right? So if you're stuck at your deadlift at 200 pounds and you can't understand why, ask yourself, how many times a week are you deadlifting? Is it one time? Is it two times? Now, the most I would let any beginner or novice client lift the same kind of heavy weight, like a deadlift or a squat or a bench press, is no more. Okay, and I cautiously say this, no more than 3 times a week. Typically, it'd be one or two, but on the max level, it'd be 3 times. Reason, I want them to lift, I want them to rest, I want them to lift again, I want them to rest and repeat. So in a week, so the maximum times that you could do the same heavy lift should be no more than 3 times. So if you're only doing it once and you're not seeing any kinds of improvement, then maybe you got to add in a second day. And that extra day of lifting weights will just add more strength, and it will increase the chances of you breaking past your plateau. So play more, aka lift more. Number four is you learn some new moves. Now, one of the hardest things to do, but can be the most fun and really beneficial. And why is it so hard? Right? It's so hard, and I can tell you on my end here, it's so hard because I get so comfortable and I get so stuck in the way that I play the game, the way that I like to lift. I end up doing kind of like the same routines all the time. Why? Because it works. I like it. I'm usually winning. I'm usually lifting like really heavy weights. I'm usually lifting pretty nice, but I'm not seeing any improvements. So now I got to add a couple new wrinkles to my game. And I do this by adding new exercises. So whether it is new moves that I had forgotten or new types of protocols. So I'm going to give you two, which are my favorite. So these are two new wrinkles that I think anybody could add. You can make it as hard, or you can modify it to the way that you can handle it, right? Because the first one's a tough one. The first one's a tough one, but when you add this one to anything that you do, you're going to see a huge difference, which is plyometrics. Now, I'm going to call them plyos for short. And plyos, adding plyos to your game basically means adding explosive movements. And it's a great way to get those fast twitch muscles to fire and make your movements just a lot more, you know, as the description is, more explosive, right? So things like box jumps, clapping push-ups, you know, are the two big ones that come into mind. But, you know, things like doing like ladder drills. So think of like football players, right? Even jump rope is considered a plyo move. Adding that wrinkle to your move set, even at the end of the workout and the beginning of the workout, it doesn't have to. You would never want to do a whole plyometrics workout. That would just be insane. It'd just be like a set that you want to add. And then the other one that you could add, which is the complete opposite, which is holds, concentrated holds. Now, holds are like doing a low squat hold, a low push-up hold, a type of plank, and these help build muscular endurance. And not only do I think like it adds muscular endurance, I think this really helps with the mental game. You know, if you ever held like a squat hold for like a minute or 2 minutes, or if you ever held a plank for like 4 minutes, it plagues your mind. You got these doubts that creep into your mind. You have these demons that come in. It's kind of like, oh man, you have these things that come to your mind. Like, come on, man, just stop right now. What's the point of doing this? At least those things come into my mind whenever I'm holding like a plank for a while, or if I'm just like holding like a squat hold and I got to hold a ball on my chest and I'm against the wall. I'm just thinking like, why am I doing this? Why, you know, I give myself all these reasons to want to quit. And I really feel like doing these like aggressive holds really, really help with my mental game. So when times get tough, or when I think I can't do a certain lift, things like this just help me to keep trekking forward. Number five is play against better players. Now, it's a great ego boost when you can crush players who aren't as good as you. Growing up, I noticed that I didn't have too many friends who were interested in the same games that I was interested in playing. So when they would come over and we would play together, I would just mop the floor with them, right? But then I had a few cousins and a friend or two who were just amazing at the same games that we were playing, and I took a serious beating. Thankfully, not physically from them, but I would lose, and I wouldn't understand why, right? But I will tell you that I got better and better every single time. And you know, I do the same thing when it comes to my training. On the rare occasions that I get to train with my other coaches and my other trainer friends, they're all experts in their specific fields, right? So I got a trainer friend who is an amazing, you know, Olympic lifter, and I learned so much from him. That I have all the men and all the women that I roll with, that I step on the mats with in jiu-jitsu, and a lot of them are just beasts. They're beasts, and they really take it to me. And I walk out of there definitely, maybe not winning the match, but I walk out of there feeling like a winner because they are a few steps ahead of me in their respective fields. And even though I'm not lifting as much as they are, and even though I'm getting swept, I'm getting choked, or I'm getting armbarred on the mats, I get to see the techniques that they're using. I get to see where my weaknesses are. I get to see where I need to improve, and from there I learn so much. And this last one I have is number 6, and I don't have a video game reference to it, but I think it is, and I have to mention it, which is you need to have a spotter. Having a spotter with you, maybe not on all the lifts, but on some of the lifts, especially the big heavy ones that you're not sure that you could do, is going to be huge. Okay, you know, like you end up bench pressing something. Let's say you're bench pressing like 100 pounds. You know, the first 5 reps you can get through it, and you can clear it pretty easily, right? But then where does the trouble really start? The trouble starts at the 6th rep or maybe the 7th rep, and it gets really slow and slower. And then by the 8th and 9th and 10th rep, what's going to happen? You're probably going to stop before you even attempt the 10th rep. At least you should. You should stop. If you're not sure if you can lift, you should stop, right? And then you're left at, oh yeah, well, I did my personal best, 9 reps. You know, I always do 9 reps. Didn't make the 10th one because I wasn't sure if I can get up or not. That's when you know you need a spotter. And if you don't have a friend there, if you're not using a trainer to help you spot, then ask somebody. You know, the gym is filled with all kinds of people who are more than willing to help. I know these days everyone's out there, they got their headphones on, they got the earbuds in. But I'm telling you, the people are still more than willing to help you out, right? Especially at the gym. It's from one lifter to another, I love it. I love it when people ask me to help them, give them a spot, because it tells me that they wanna one up themselves. And it's not just because what I do, right? I know that I have asked all kinds of people to spot me. All kinds of people who are just like, oh, I'm not sure if I can help you, because maybe they're smaller than I am. And I still ask them because I know I just need that little extra boost, that little extra confidence to know that if this bar was to crash down to my chest, at least this person can help call 911. So don't be shy. If you're stuck on a plateau, ask for help. Okay? These are the surefire ways to break past any plateau. You know, think of it like a video game. I will list them off real quick here. Number 1, remember, every level is meant to be beaten. Number 2, take a different path. Change your workouts. Number 3, increase your play time. Practice more, get to the gym more. Number 4, learn some new moves, learn some new techniques. Add a couple wrinkles into your game. Number 5, play against better players. They will only make you better, even if you feel like you're losing at that time. Number 6, I don't have a video game reference for this one, but always have a spotter. You know, again, I just want to say that plateaus are normal and they're common. And we can look at them as things that are holding us back, or we can look at them as setbacks. But I tend to look at it in a different way, which is when I personally hit a plateau, it gives me a chance to reflect at all the hard work that I've put in over the past couple months or year. And I get to rework a different route. I get to explore different things that will help me get to the next level. You know, I get to see what's been going right and make pivots and adjustments of what I need to do in the future. And maybe, just maybe, if you thought that you have reached a plateau, maybe in reality, you have actually gotten there. You know, I've seen this happen, you know, so many times in strength training and especially in weight loss. People are so focused on that one more rep, right? We're in this one more rep, you know, culture where I gotta lift one more pound. I need to get a few seconds faster. And we get lost in the whole process of things. right? And we kind of forget maybe we've already gotten there, and we should be happy with the victories. So hit me up, let me know what you thought. Did I get any right? Did I get any wrong? You know where to reach me, mckim@remixmyfitness.com, on IG, on FB, Remix My Fitness. Hit me in the DM, hit me in the comments, anywhere you like. I'm not a hard man to find. I'll be back next week with another episode, so make sure you smash that subscribe button so you never miss a beat. Until next time, go out there, set some goals, challenge yourself, and don't forget to have fun. Peace.